My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
This is the conclusion of our Image X Month coverage, man. We're the Image Founding Fathers. Wife swap each other's titles, man. First, what do you got, Jimmy?
Well, I am plugging Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive, my Image Comics collection of the Ninja on a Skateboard. Perfect for all ages. 240 full-color pages for $20. This makes a great gift this year for somebody in your life, including you. So, Ninja on a Skateboard. Do I have to say more?
Look at that, Santa Claus. This is the darkest story of Jim's career, too, by the way. Gotta read that. Patreon.com/EdPiskor is where I'm serializing my Red Room comics. Issue 1 is up there right now. It's for the early adopter because the print edition will be available in 2021. We're working on that right now. Serializing issue 2 now. Every Tuesday, new strips are available. $3 gets you the archive. And just a quick note that the X-Men Grand Design Omnibus, which I just recently received from an Amazon order that Marvel did, because the book sold out really quickly.
That's awesome.
And they didn't have any comp copies on deck. So if you want it, make sure you get it while you can, because we're going to be reprinting these in early 2021. And I'll give you, we'll make a better video talking about this specifically, because when I highlight the back matter where I basically reprinted the entire, or I basically printed the entire script process for X-Men Grand Design, which is me just drawing the comic a first try on typing paper.
Talk about great bonus material. I have bought comics more than once, always based on this kind of bonus material. This might be the best back matter I've seen.
And you could tell where it is based on
the entire script.
The color blocking. Yes.
Great book.
All right, Jimmy. Last episode, man, we talked about your favorite Image X month book, and it's time for me to talk about mine, man. Jim Valentino, the artist creator of Shadowhawk, is on creative duties for an issue of Youngblood. He's going to be inked by Dan Fraga here, and what makes this my favorite Image X month book is it's completely written and drawn by Jim Valentino. It's not a Shadowhawk comic with Youngblood characters in it. It tells a complete story. It's a fun story. That sort of meets my criteria for what I was hoping Image X Month would be. I wanted to see Mark Silvestri do a Spawn comic, not one of Todd McFarlane's Spawn comics, you dig? And I think Dan Fraga's inking approach on Silvestri is complimentary.
Yeah, and also it's colored by Extreme Colors. So I assume that's who colors, you know, that's kind of the studio for Extreme, I'm guessing. So it does have a certain look that lines up to some extent to what you would expect from these characters.
Yeah, sure. It is funny because Kiko is doing a Shadowhawk, and Kiko is exclusively the Youngblood colorist. So Kiko goes where Rob Liefeld goes, yeah. Man. And then those other, you know, Byron, the guy who's probably responsible for your gray background on the gray gun of Blood Wolf from Darker Image, is a dude on color duties here.
And the story is Bad Rock is a option for, we don't exactly hear what it is, TV show, movie, something like that, but it's a Hollywood option.
He's getting schmoozed, man. So there's even some of that. Like, all of these guys were getting wooed by Hollywood. You know, you would find Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, Rob Liefeld on there showing off his house, talking about coming up with movie ideas with Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise, none of which have seen the light of day or panned out, but like these, you know, 25-year-old guys getting wooed by you know, Hollywood mavens. And it's kind of a play on that, man. You know, make sure you're getting net, not gross, or whichever the good one is. I always forget.
Yeah, each of these is like a little piece of what you would hear, I'm sure, from your buddies, from anybody that thought they knew what was going on in Hollywood.
Right. When we were talking about, you know, the lettering before, you mentioned that it was a font. Look at the, like, default number font. Whenever they constructed this font, I guess they just didn't think that, like, we might have to have numbers in our word balloons. So it just went to this de facto, you know, that your computer will go to the closest font possible, and it's the balloon font with, you know, the Kurt Hathaway lettering font. That's super whack, man.
Yeah, it's one of the more interesting details of all of these is looking at that lettering. and looking at these fonts, because it is early days.
And you could see here, man, that that Jim Valentino is a student of Frank King from Gasoline Alley with the singular background and our character moving throughout.
You do get a sense of Valentino's cartooning skills. He's much, I think, more broad in what he's looking at, what's influenced him over the years and stuff like that. He told a great story about showing Robert Crumb comics to Rob Liefeld whenever they were in their early friendship. And you see that here, you know, like he's coming with knowledge of indie comics, and you're going to see that kind of almost auto-bio, tongue-in-cheek. There's humor in this in a way that you really don't see in the other Image guys.
Whenever Rob Liefeld was selling the public on Youngblood, the idea was this is a celebrity government-issue superhero team. So they are the face because, you know, he has a universe. So the Youngblood is the face of these government operations, and they're allowed to be celebrities. You never seen one piece of evidence of that in any Rob Liefeld Youngblood comic. And the idea, I guess, like Brigade was going to be the ones really doing the work or something. This is a comic where you get to kind of see a little domesticity in a Youngblood comic, which you just never fucking got, man. It is funny as shit, man. Seeing like Bad Rock in all of these different scenarios. And lest we forget, man, this is a 90s comic, so you got to give the big puffy sneaks, backwards hat.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. It is in line with your description, though, of what Youngblood is. But it's bizarre to see it.
Yeah, I know. The closest we ever saw in the Rob Liefeld stuff was Bad Rock, was on like a David Letterman type show. And there was still some violent altercation required or something.
Yeah, and they say like the licensing fee is like $50,000. I think he does more damage in the process. Like he does $50,000 worth of damage just in this comic.
He's a rock star.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, the character of Bad Rock is, he's a little boy that's like in a big cement body. So he's like an 8-year-old or something.
Is he that young?
No, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know either. Well, I always pictured him a little bit older, like, but 13. We don't see anything pervy. So yeah, he's probably preteen, I guess.
Right, yeah.
I have
right.
No idea.
Yeah, he's not looking for like titty flicks.
But as you say, he's certainly an immature kid in this this Hulk-like body.
So much you could have done with that, that too, man. Because like when I discovered these comics, when I started reading Youngblood, like I was in like middle school, approaching high school age, and that's when kids are hitting the gym and actually able to put on muscle, and like when you get into a fight, it doesn't just sting anymore. Like, you can really hurt each other. And having an immature kid with, like, this amazing brawn, there's so much storytelling possibility that you could do here.
And this is him in this Hollywood meeting, which, again, I feel like is part referencing probably real meetings that Valentino's sat through or whatever. Talk about time-wasting kind of endeavors. And Bad Rock just wants to eat and hang out and imagine all the stuff that's going to come out of this, because that's the other part. You're sold like this is going to the moon, man. You're going to be the biggest thing ever. A little bit of a naive character. He's buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Pogs. This was the era, man. Fucking Bad Rock pogs.
It is funny what comes out, like kids' meals. Yo-yos.
Yo-yos. That's probably from Jim Valentino.
I was gonna say,
that's Jim Valentino's pog.
Yeah, that's a slightly older guy doing this version.
And here's our Steve Spielberg analog, George Spilopola.
Hollywood sightseeing. Being a tourist there, rips the top off of his limo because it's Bad Rock, man. Yeah. Rock star.
Going to Venice Beach. Look at Fraga, man. Putting his little black flag dude in there. It's got that beret.
It's what you gotta do.
Little slingshot bikini, Vampirella style. You would always hear tell of like these like goofball Muscle Beach characters, man. You would see them in Canon Film type.
You hear movies. I mean, wrestlers have origin stories that come out of there. Or wanting to go there and work out whenever they were, like, in L.A. for an event.
Right.
Yeah, that's its own culture.
Shows those muscle guys up. Look at these dudes in thongs and shit.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Throws them off to into the ocean. It walks off with two girls, man, so he probably ain't that young. you know, we'll call him a young teenager. And then he just got his ass kissed by the Hollywood bigwigs back at Youngblood headquarters. And he is not being given the time of day from the Hollywood people who just kissed his butt. They're all at meetings. They can't get in touch with you, you know, as the weeks...
Months go by and it's like they're in the same meeting.
Right. And then...
I like his look, how it changes, because those are all looks that you would see in, like, Youngblood Strike File. Or whenever the series would be relaunched and you'd have a headband.
Right.
You know, it's like they kind of run through, like, these looks. And then, of course, you know, plug the David Cho Shadowhawk shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, that's true, man. Like, whenever he's on David Letterman, he's wearing this exact outfit.
Yeah, this is... Valentino's doing his homework. I think that's the toy,
this
right?
This is the toy. We internalize this stuff too much,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we shouldn't know that.
We should know how to ink better or something,
it's like,
man.
We both failed the test of being humans.
Replace some feathering skill with that neural capacity, man. So, meetings, and then, nope, he's on vacation. Slams the phone. TV guide, there's going to be the Bad Rock Show. You know, you signed your name on a dotted line. We can now do whatever we do. Is this a little Valentino-ish kind of guy? Like a little self-caricature?
Maybe.
He didn't have white hair or anything back then, but...
Salt and pepper.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's the big debut, and man, he's dressed to the nines.
And this is the shit that I can relate to, man. Look, Spider-Man's coming. Bringing all the heroes.
Rip Claw just walking along in his weird outfit. Is that Shadowhawk walking in?
Yeah.
Valentino seemed like, of all the dudes, took a lot of pride in what Image was. In that, like, everybody showed up. Everybody had their characters and their books and stuff. Because you'd see it in those ads where it's like, here's the list of all the roster.
Right.
You know, it seemed like Valentino really recognized that this was something special. And so I feel like that's what this page is. You know, like, highlighting everybody's books and different characters.
And Neil Gaiman, for some reason.
Yeah. We'll have to do some videos on his Image books.
Yeah, for sure. This always made me mad because I liked seeing all the characters there, but it's like, man, if Jim's going to draw that shit, Byron, you got to color them.
Yeah, color that a little bit better, even with the little note of George Perez, eat your heart out. Perez known for doing these super, like, every character in the Marvel or DC universe in the crossover books. Pay it off a little, man. See, you color that well. That should be some poster of all the Image characters.
Exactly. And as we could have imagined, the Bad Rock TV show...
A lot like the Spawn movie.
That's perfect, man. And he's just increasingly more and more embarrassed as you know, his peers and friends start to laugh and mock and all that shit, man. And... Like, boy.
Fun cartooning, watching him go through that expressions, and probably a challenge for a cartoonist. Whenever I would see the books and it would have, like, all the facial expressions, you know, like, learn to draw all of these. But when you apply it to, like, the concrete-faced guy...
Right.
Not the most emotive face.
I did work on some animation stuff in the past, Jimmy, and I was super stoked and was interviewed, and all of my family was very excited. There was a certain point where I was, like, locked out of the process, you know, the FTP stuff, and I didn't see the assets and how everything was congealing into its final form. So the first time I saw it was the first time everybody saw it. I didn't get out of bed for a month, Jimmy. I really didn't. But we sign off with a nice splash with Shaft and Nightsaber. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that looks about right.
Shades of, like, the Todd Knock proportionality of the extreme characters whenever he starts doing new men, which I was a fan of.
He might have been doing it at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
If you see, like, the checklist, that's what I was doing going through these, is like where they have, like, what's shipping that month.
Right.
Reading, like, what books are coming out and everything and who the creative teams are.
Next
kind of
issue.
A fun flashback.
Issue 10, Jimmy.
That's a big one.
Chapel versus Spawn.
The finale.
Look at that Kiko Taganashi color on that thing right there. And what could he be saying no about? It's a pretty good two-page spread. That's for sure.
Fan art. Little Nightsaber action.
Chapel makes a decision about his destiny that will affect the Image universe for generations to come. Right before Extreme Sacrifice, man.
It leads to Extreme Sacrifice. You're going to be lost if you don't read issue 10.
Shadowhawk issue with the 1963 characters showing up. This face is, like, so flat looking.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, like, by design. You know, I thought he's like, you know, Paper Man or something.
That color gradient's ridiculous. Like, that's that early digital coloring of like, let's use all the colors in
Purple,
the gradient.
Roy G. Biv.
Yes.
See, this is Todd Knock. I really like the way they colored the Todd, because he left a lot of space for the colors to do their thing. He also had a very animated style. Some more Todd Knock. I didn't like Dan Panosian's inking on him as much, though. Who was his regular inker? I don't know.
He got me. I was pretty checked out at this point. I like that Supreme drawing, though. That's Brian Murray, right?
I don't know. Maybe, probably.
Yeah.
Young Blood Year One, I don't think this came out.
It did not. There were several of these. Remember, Jim Shooter was associated with a Young Blood book that never came out. Kurt Busiek. I think, was it Mark Miller had one that maybe an issue came out? But this would happen frequently where it was like some Young Blood book was advertised and then didn't really materialize.
And this looks so cool, man. It's like you got the Die Hard squad.
But this is like Busiek coming off of Marvels, I think, around this time. So it was, you know, height of Kurt Busiek is like, yeah, dude, what could be better than him doing an origin of Youngblood?
Right. Yeah. It's too bad, man. And let's date it one more time, dude. Sega CD. Like, 5 games made for that system.
It's incredible to think, like, these games, you know, like, they become the franchises. What comic books used to be, those iterations of those games over years and years and years, like,
and this and this one here had the secret characters, man, where you type in the code, and you could play as Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and George Clinton. No shit.
Wow.
Get out of here, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when the next vids are available. Jim and I have books that are out of print and in the wild, man. That would be his Street Angel hardcover and my X-Men Grand Design Omnibus. Jim also has Octobriana in stores now and the Image Street Angel collection, as well as his Plain Jane's book that came out at the beginning of 2020. Patreon.com/Ed Piskor's where I'm serializing my current comics project, Red Room. 3 books get you the archive. Issue 1 is up there, and new strips come out every Tuesday.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe merchandise and t-shirts at the links below this video, and you can find all of our social media links individually and Cartoonist Kayfabe at the links below this video.
One more set of Martian orders, Jimmy, and we'll bounce.
Read more comics.